That song we just sang talks a lot about blessings. We have one to guide us, one to protect us, one to keep us. We have a place where we belong when all this is over with. But those blessings are conditional. They are conditional upon our being consecrated. We want to talk this evening about consecration. The text that we will look at in Romans chapter 6 doesn't really use the word consecration, but the idea of consecration, I think, is throughout that chapter. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul uses two images, and then in the beginning of chapter 7, he uses another image that emphasizes, helps us understand this idea of consecration. I guess, first, when we start talking about consecration, we need to understand what it's talking about is being set apart. That's why I say those blessings that we talk about from that 23rd Psalm or the song that we just sang, those blessings are conditional. The Lord has to be our shepherd in order for those things to come about. In order for Him to be our shepherd, we have to be set apart. To be set apart as sacred is what we're talking about when we're talking about the kind of consecration we're talking about in Scripture, dedicated solemnly to a particular service or goal, dedicated to a sacred purpose. Another term that we often use when we're talking about the idea of consecrated is the term sanctified. In fact, we find that many times throughout the pages of Scripture as well. We need to understand that we are consecrated, we are sanctified, we are set apart to God. Or at least we need to be set apart to God if we expect to partake of the blessings that He has promised. We need to be consecrated to God. We want to look at the text in Romans chapter 6 this evening and look at these images, these figures that the Apostle Paul uses, while not necessarily pointing them toward the idea of consecration, that idea is bound up in what he's talking about. Because the first figure that he talks about, that he uses in this, in the first 14 verses of chapter 6, is the idea of death. And when we start talking about something being set apart, something being separated, there's not much more definite separation than death. And the Apostle Paul says that we are set apart by death. Notice what he says beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The Apostle Paul says we've been separated from sin by death. We put sin to death through our burial with Jesus in baptism. So we have been set apart from sin. How can we engage in sin any longer when we have been consecrated, set apart from sin through being buried with Christ in death? As we continue looking in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Notice, the Apostle Paul says the reason that we put sin to death, the reason that we separated ourselves from sin by being buried with Christ, is so that we could rise with Christ, so that we can enjoy those blessings, some of which we sang about in that song. But in particular, so that we would be in the likeness of Christ and in the likeness of His resurrection. And by making ourselves into the likeness of Christ and separating ourselves from sin, we have hope of being with God for all eternity. The body of sin, he says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. We've gotten rid of sin. And this goes back to that question he asked at the first part of this chapter. I realize this chapter wasn't here when Paul wrote the letter, but it's a good place that we can helps us to reference these verses. And he said, how can we live in sin if we put sin to death? Sin has been done away. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Because we have put to death the old man of sin and we have been risen with Christ, we are now alive to him. And death no longer has any hold over us. Not only did we, by being consecrated and set apart through our obedience to the gospel, get rid of sin, but we also got rid of the concern, care, and worry of death. We've already died to the things of this world. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel have put to death the things of the world that were in us, and now we don't have to worry about being put to death in the world anymore. We've been talking some as we were studying in the book of Revelation about the persecution that the early Christians engaged in, and we'll talk about it more as we get further into the book. But one of the things that we pointed out is these brethren remained faithful to God even though it meant their death. Why? Because they knew that death had no hold on them. They weren't bound by it anymore. There was no need to be concerned about going to death in this world because they'd already put the world to death in their lives. We're alive to Christ. And no one can put us to death in regards to Christ. If we have been raised with Christ, we will live forever. This image of death as a separation is a very vivid image, but it also carries with it the promise of continued life, because we will not be hurt by death again. There will come a time for each one of us when we are separated from this world physically. But since we've already put the world behind us, that shouldn't be a big problem for us. That shouldn't be a difficulty. There will be sadness in those that remain once we're gone, certainly because of the feelings of love and care and concern that we have. But as for me as an individual, when I die, there's no worry. No concern about being separated from the world. In fact, it's a continuation of the victory that I enjoy in Jesus, because I've already put to death the world. I've been consecrated. I've been set apart for something that is so far beyond the things of this life that really we can't fully comprehend them. We've been justified from sin. We've been made free from sin. And we will live with him because Christ died once for sin, and death has no more dominion or is no longer a master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, the point of the Apostle Paul here as he writes to the Roman brethren is that they need to keep sin out of their life. They've already put it to death. Stay away from it because they have been set apart from it by their death with Christ in baptism. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Just like death is no longer master over Christ, sin is to no longer be master over us. We've been set apart by death, and therefore sin has no part in our lives. When Paul wrote to the Colossian brethren in Colossians chapter 3, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Why? Because of these things, the wrath of God will come on the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. You've already put them to death. Don't let them be part of who you are anymore. Not just because you put them to death, but because those things bring down the wrath of God. We're set apart in the image of death, dead to sin and alive to God. It's an image that Paul uses here in Romans chapter 6 that will help us to better see that idea of consecration set apart. The second image that he uses is the image of slavery. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and part of what we said there, we don't like to think about this idea of slavery. That's something in our past we don't want to consider it. We try to find better terms, and we use the term servant sometimes. And as we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, we used the term bond servant. But slavery is the term. We have been enslaved by sin all our lives until we decided to change masters. In fact, that's one of the first things that the Apostle Paul talks about when he starts to use this image. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" The Apostle Paul, when he starts this image, he says, you can be a slave of whoever you want. And we could expand that to cover any number of things. You can be a slave to your job. You can be a slave to your family. You can be a slave to your government. You can be a slave to your community. You can be a slave to your land. You can be a slave to your money. Of course, pretty much all of those things fall under the category of slaves of sin, which leads to death. Or you can be a slave of righteousness, which leads to life. Now, thinking, as Paul talks about this and uses this imagery, and in particular this verse, he reminds us that our setting apart, our consecration, is a voluntary thing. We're not forced to separate ourselves from the world. We make the decision to separate ourselves from the world. We can be a slave of the world as long as we live on the face of this earth. But those of us gathered here this evening, those who come to know the will of God and understand who He is and what He's all about, and have a desire for something more than this life, will make a change in their master. And they will become a slave of God rather than a slave of the world or of sin. And we are set apart by that decision to make God our master. To submit wholly to the will of Christ. And the Apostle Paul commends the brethren in Rome. He says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." You left the slavery of sin and gave yourselves wholly over to God. To righteousness, to serve Him in righteousness. He says in verse 19, "I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." In some ways, what the Apostle Paul says here at the beginning of that verse is, I'm telling you things in parables so you'll better understand them. You have a hard time grasping these concepts, and so I'm using images that are familiar to you. Maybe that's why the image of slavery is not used as much among us today. We try to put that out of our minds and try to make that not a part of what's going on in the world today. Well, it is, but we try not to think about that, so we're not as familiar with the ideas of slavery. But Paul says, I can use these ideas with you because you're familiar with them, and they can help teach you some greater truths. And that is, you are bound to God. And he said, I thank God that you have bound yourselves to God rather than continuing to be bound to sin. He said, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. He says, think back. When you committed your life to sin, at that time maybe you weren't thinking about it. You had committed your life to sin, but you were living in sin. What benefit did you have? Well, I was rich. I had lots of friends. I had lots of things going on for me. Yeah, but what benefit did you have? Because all those things are going to disappear. All those things are going to pass away. The outcome of those things is death. If what we're focused on is the things of this world, the only outcome from that is death. Complete separation from all the things that we held dear. So, I says, brother, what benefit did you have when you were engaging in those things? Well, if they're open and honest-hearted, and they look honestly at what they've learned and what they see, there is no benefit. But there is benefit. Now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. There's that idea of consecration, as he does use it here in this chapter, in just this one verse. The benefit that you have of changing masters is you've been set apart to God. You've been set apart to serve righteousness. You are bond servants of righteousness. The fruit is unto sanctification, and it leads to eternal life. And once again, he reminds them, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, we quote that verse a lot. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We hear that a lot. And there's a lot of need to hear that verse and reminders. But don't forget the context here. This is a part of Paul's discussion about why it was good and why he would thank God that they were no longer the slaves of sin but were the slaves of God. Because being a slave of sin, the only outcome is death. We're sanctified by our slavery to God, and it is for our benefit. We're sanctified by death, thus taking death out of the picture. We no longer have to be concerned about it because we will live forever. We're sanctified by having set ourselves apart to God as our master. Therefore, once again, we're not the slaves of those things that are going to pass away. We're not going to lose anything. In fact, we will gain it all. And when we think about slavery and the images that we have in our minds as a result of that practice throughout the history of the world, we don't think of somebody that's going to rejoice or somebody that's going to gain it all. But what Paul says here is by enslaving yourself to God, by setting yourself apart holy to serve God, you get it all. You lose nothing. You gain everything. Eternal life. We're set apart by slavery. And then in chapter 7, he uses another image. The image of marriage. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, or do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those that know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she's joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she's not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Understand, the Apostle Paul is not teaching on marriage and divorce and remarriage here. principles and the things he says can be used in teaching on that, but that's not what Paul's doing. Paul is saying, you understand marriage. You know about the bond between husband and wife. So let me use that to illustrate to you the bond you have with God. Because you have set yourself away from the world, you have consecrated and given yourself to God, like a man and woman give themselves to one another in marriage. You have a similar bond with God. It was a law that was easily understood, an image that was probably just as vivid in the minds of those who were reading this letter originally as the image of death and of slavery. And it emphasizes the bond that we have with God. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now that we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. And I realize there's a lot that the Apostle Paul talks about here back and forth regarding the old law and the new law. That's a topic for another lesson. I think we can glean the message of the Apostle Paul in this without delving into that. What Paul says is, brethren, you bound yourself to God, and there's a reason you bound yourself to God. And he expands on this idea, not only are we no longer worried about death, not only have we been set apart and therefore we get it all, we've also been set apart to bear fruit unto God. That's what he says there in verse 4. You have been joined to another in order that we might bear fruit to God. We've been brought together with God so that we can bear the fruits of righteousness. The goodness, the kindness, the love, the gentleness, the patience, the desire to serve and to help. These are all fruits that we bear unto God because we have bound ourselves to Him. We are servants of God, but we are bound to Him as a husband and wife are bound together. And that sets us apart. And as long as we are bound to Him and we are committed to Him, the fruit that we bear is going to be the fruits of righteousness. If we adulterate ourselves, which is an image that is used time and time again throughout the pages of Scripture, and probably as prominent in the stories about the nation of Israel as anywhere, if we adulterate ourselves with the things of the world, then certainly we're not going to bring forth the fruit of righteousness. We're going to bring forth the fruit of the world. And we've sullied our bond, maybe even destroyed our bond with God. And we've done the same thing as if we would have gone back to be slaves of Satan. Or if we had left the life that was ours and gone back to the death that we had in the world. We are set apart unto God, consecrated unto Him, so that we can bear fruits of righteousness. Consecrated. You know, we're going to be set apart to one thing or the other. We're either going to be set apart to God to do His work and His service and to receive the benefits of being a part of His family, or we're going to choose to set ourselves apart to the world. And that's going to lead to sin, wickedness, death, and eternal destruction. The choice is up to you.
These images emphasize some things about our being set apart to God. We don't have to worry about death anymore. It's already over. We put all that behind us. Everything is ours because we belong to God. And our life will be a life of righteousness, a life of blessing. Not just to ourselves, but to those that we come in contact with, because we are bearing the fruits of righteousness, and the fruits of righteousness lead to blessings for those who are involved, those who are associated with us. That bond that we have with God will carry us through whatever physical trials and difficulties we may have. It will carry us through death and into eternal life, and we can inherit the promise. The promise that was given all the way back to the beginning of time, if we remain set apart. These images don't necessarily emphasize the idea that it's an ongoing process, something we have to continue to work at to remain set apart. But that is part of what the truth teaches us. It's not we're set over here, and no matter what we do, we're going to stay over here. We have to continue to work at that, bearing fruits of righteousness. Drawing ourselves closer to God. James tells us, if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. If you look this evening and find that you're not as near to God as you ought to be. You're not as close as you desire. Your bond is broken, soul. Or that you've let yourself go back to your other master, Satan. Allow him to overcome you. We urge you to correct those things. Pray to God and ask him to forgive. You've committed sins that are of public nature and need to be corrected publicly, or if you've got things that are burdening you and giving you difficulty you can't overcome on your own, the brethren are here to pray with you for you. You've never obeyed the gospel, we urge you to do so. You've not made that decision to separate yourself from death and from the world. And it's time to do that. To give yourself to God so you can inherit the great and wonderful blessings that belong to Him and those who are His. You recognize this evening that you need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come while we stand and sing to your church?